Next Wednesday, five of Iowa's finest chefs will square off in Iowa Public Radio's third Battle of the Chefs, this time at Nubo City Market in Cedar Rapids. Today, we'll get to know the chefs and hear their stories. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Next Wednesday, guests at the Battle of the Chefs will get to taste offerings from five different Cedar Rapids chefs and vote on the winner. This hour, I'll talk with Pete Hartley of Greyhound Deli at Nubo City Market, Tim Othout of Zeppelin's Bar and Grill, Daniel Dennis of The Class Act, and Andy Schumacher of Cobble Hill. Tony Beta from Beta's Restaurant will also be battling next Wednesday. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Iowa Public Radio's third Battle of the Chefs is coming up next Wednesday. And this time, for the first time, it's on the east side of the state at Nubo City Market in Cedar Rapids. Guests at the Battle of the Chefs will get to taste offerings from five different Cedar Rapids chefs and vote on the winner. And this hour, I will talk with all five chefs. Tim Othout of Zeppelin's Bar and Grill will be here. Daniel Dennis of The Class Act. Andy Schumacher of Cobble Hill. Tony Beta from Beta's Restaurant. But I'm starting the hour. And by the way, if you'd like more information on this event, you can find a link on our Facebook page. You can also find information at iowapublicradio.org. With me to start the hour is Pete Hartley of Greyhound Deli, which is located at Nubo City Market in Cedar Rapids. And Pete, you also just recently opened a new location at the Cedar Rapids Public Library, right?
Yeah, this January. We opened up, I think the 7th, just right at the start of the year.
Nice. So give me a little bit of your background. You went into Nubo City Market when it opened in 2012, but what had you been doing before that?
Well, we made our connections to the Nubo City Market. My business partner and I had been running Griddle Me This, a breakfast stand at the Iowa City Farmers Market. And we did that, I think we started 5 years ago. And we started making connections with farmers and people in the area. And we met someone on the board that was trying to get people to fill spots at Nubo, and she thought we would be a great fit. She kind of helped us figure out the plan for the deli to move from breakfast into more lunch, and she kind of gave us the push and helped us out there, and we thought it was great, from going from a 10 by 10 tent to a 10 by 20 actual kitchen. Seemed luxurious.
How did you get into food in the first place?
I got into food when I was 12. My mom stopped cooking. She came home and she said, she's got three boys and my dad. And she said, tired of making dinner every day of the week. You're all picking a day and you're going from there. So from when I was 12 till I moved out when I was 19, every Tuesday I made dinner.
And did you enjoy that at first? How did you learn?
I'm a huge procrastinator, so I never planned anything. I'd get home from school, and I'd open the fridge and the cupboards, and I'd just pull things out, and I'd make something. And it was always good enough to eat. But you learn a lot when you just start going through and looking at what you have. My older brother's very practical. He would look at recipes. He'd plan ahead. My mom would go shopping for him, and he'd make a meal. And I'd come home and just start putting things together and figuring out what I wanted to eat and what flavor profiles worked. And it went from there, and it turns out that other people were responding to that as well.
When you started at the farmer's market, was that a side job for you, or was that something that you felt like you could actually make a living at?
That side job. I had worked in restaurants full-time for a couple years, and I had kind of left the scene to be a bicycle mechanic, and I loved it, and I loved everything about it. But I kept finding myself drawn back into part-time cooking gigs here and there, working for friends in restaurants. And Matt, he and I had been friends for a bit, and he was talking about doing farmer's market, and it's like, you know, it's like 24 hours of work. You prep all Friday night, you get up, you work Saturday morning, then you break it down and you're good to go. And I was like, I can do that. And it was just something fun to do. And we did it well enough to get people's attention.
So when Nubo City Market was in the planning stages, and we did a lot of reporting on that here at Iowa Public Radio, and people were talking about it, it was an exciting idea, but it must have been a little scary, too, to buy in at the beginning.
Oh, it's terrifying. Yes. Owning a business is terrifying, but especially, The people and the idea behind Nubo City Market was all incredible. The idea of it, the fact that we could own our own restaurant with that little startup was incredible. We were able to continue to stay small and focus on what we wanted. We had a very small staff, and we were in charge of everything. We did the build out ourselves. We sourced all of our ingredients. We started making all the food, and it was so many more possibilities than we even knew that we had, from working at the farmers market to actually having our name on a sign hanging above our spot. And it's like, this is ours every single week, and that kind of excitement overcomes the fear aspect of jumping in like that.
For people who haven't been to Greyhound Deli, tell me a little bit about your menu. What kinds of things do you do?
Yeah, we focus on soups and sandwiches and salads. We do everything as fresh as we can. We slice all of our meats to order. We use LaQuercia, which is out of Norwalk, Iowa. We use their cured meats for a lot of stuff. Our bread is baked fresh by the bakers in the corner at Nubo. Our chickens and our beef is sourced through Big Boy Meats at Nubo City Market, and we've actually I've met our chicken farmer. He's come down to the market. I've shook his hand, and it's like we smoke those chickens every single week, and that's a lot of fun. We do deli salads, green salads, soups, and we're always changing. Our sandwiches pretty much stay the same, but our salads, deli salads, and our soups are on a constant rotation of what's fresh, what's inspiring, and what we want to eat.
So when you put that menu together, I mean, Nubo was a brand new idea. There were people who said, I don't think that's going to fly in Cedar Rapids.
Definitely. I think it took us 6 months or so to sell a green salad.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, is that hyperbole? Are you serious?
No, it took a long, long time to sell a mixed green or Caesar. People told us it was a meat and potatoes town and that they weren't interested in prosciutto. And those people I didn't see again, but I see people every single week that are interested in the kind of food that we're making. And, you know, we don't think that we're doing something brand new. What we're trying to do is we're trying to make the food that we want to eat. I make food at the deli. I go home. I make the same thing for my family. It's what I've always kind of made. You know, and it took a while we do a lot with quinoa deli salads, and it took a little bit for people to figure out what it was or why it's good. And, but a lot of it is just kind of perseverance, and you have to be there to talk to people about why you're doing what you're doing and why you like it for them to even be open enough to give it a chance. And we see people every single week looking for what's new and what we've got. Yeah, selling green salad is fabulous. I love it. I love it because people were just like, oh, I'm just not interested. And I was like, how are you? It's a salad, guys. Like, come on.
So being in Nubo from the very beginning, of course, it's an environment that changes a lot because a number of the people who were there at the very start, some of them have started their own standalone businesses and moved out of the market. Some of them have maintained the market, you know, and then also, like you have, started another standalone business elsewhere. How has the dynamic at the market changed over the last 3 years?
It's what it's really solidified is that nothing is constant. And that's a cool place to be. I'm actually very, very comfortable with that. So as people get bigger and they start moving out and focusing less on the market because they're doing their own thing, or they're you know, there's this fluidity of people moving in, and as soon as somebody new comes in, you start hearing new ideas and new plans, and once you start picking up what other people are doing, you can take a look at what you're doing and you kind of go, okay, well they're doing this, and is what I'm doing enough? Do I need to change something? So there's there's a lot of movement of businesses coming in and businesses coming out, but at the same time, there's a lot of movement of businesses that are staying, continually changing what they're doing and really looking at how they're doing it. Can they do it better? Can we focus on something else? How do we continue to stay relevant when there's brand new businesses coming back?
Right. It sounds like you really draw a lot from the community that is Nubo City Market.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the area itself breeds community. Just watching all the businesses kind of come in the last 3 years, there's this huge sense that we're all in it together, and there's a huge kind of art scene happening in the Nubo District right now, and it's super cool to watch. Murals are going up, and there's this vibe and this feeling that Cedar Rapids didn't necessarily really have before, or they had it, but they didn't know how to kind of focus it. And I think that all these businesses coming together at Nubo City Market really helped foster that feeling of community, and that sense that we can all be small and do our own thing and, you know, shake hands with a lot of people and see what happens.
Now, you have had the Nubo City Market hours have been sort of gradually expanding over the years. So now it's 4 days?
4 days.
4 days a week. And then in January, you took the plunge with the deli at the Cedar Rapids Public Library, which is seven days a week. Right? So
yes.
How has that transition gone for you?
Surprisingly well. Like I say, we still have a small staff, and they're extremely dedicated to what we do, and that takes the pressure off huge. We work with an incredible group of people that want to come to work, and they want to be their best every single day. Going from 4 days to 7 days, and then the two locations is a lot to think about all at one time because, you know, Thursday through Sunday, it's like, okay, what are the hours? Who's where? How are we going to do this and still have everything function at its optimal rate? But like I say, it all comes down to the people that we work with.
So you called yourself a huge procrastinator. Battle of the Chefs is coming up next Wednesday, and I don't expect anybody to tell me what they're making this hour because obviously that would put you at a disadvantage, but do you know what you're making?
I received an email from somebody that I have to know by tomorrow. So
so you don't know yet.
I've got a couple ideas. No.
All right. Well, stay with us, Pete. Pete Hartley of Greyhound Deli at Nubo City Market and the Cedar Rapids Public Library. As the hour goes on, we will meet the other chefs who will be participating in Iowa Public Radio's third Battle of the Chefs. This time, we're on the east side of the state. It's at Nubo City Market, Wednesday, May 13th. It begins at 5:30. You can find out more about the event at iowapublicradio.org. You can also go to our Facebook page to look at information about the event, and tickets are available online as well. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're meeting the chefs that will be participating in Iowa Public Radio's third Battle of the Chefs, this time on the east side of the state. Many people have said, hey, don't do everything in Des Moines. So this time we're in Cedar Rapids, and we have five very gifted chefs who are going to be participating in Battle of the Chefs. I was just talking a few minutes ago with Pete Hartley of Greyhound Deli, which is at Nubo City Market, and the Cedar Rapids Public Library. As the hour goes on, Daniel Dennis will be joining us of the Class Act, Andy Schumacher of Cobble Hill, Tony Beta from Beta's Restaurant. And next up, Tim Othout is here from Zeppelin's Bar and Grill. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Charity. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, no, thank you.
Now, let's go back to sort of the beginning for you. I know that you used to work in a lumber yard, and that's actually where you started cooking?
It is. I would kind of start meals in the morning in a crock pot and then go work all day. And then me and the guys, you know, it was a hot day or even a cold day outside, then we'd head on down to, the nearest bar and spend quite a bit of time. And then it was always nice because you could always come back over to my house and there was always something nice and hot to eat.
Nice. And so how did that grow into actually becoming your career?
I started cooking with friends and some of my friends' families. And I think it actually started with Wednesday Fish Night is what we called it. I'd go over to a friend's house or we'd go over to his dad's house. And all the women would evacuate the house because they didn't like fish. And before you know it, every Wednesday I was cooking dinner. And eventually they're just kind of like, hey, you are good at this. You should really consider doing this. And like, well, you know, why not? Why not take a chance? And started going to school for a little while out at Kirkwood. And before I knew it, I'd taken over a kitchen at a local restaurant. And it all just kind of continued to snowball since then.
Wow. And so Zeppelin's Bar and Grill, for people who haven't been there, give us an idea of what you do.
Okay. We are... We've been listed and labeled as many things as New American, Traditional American, Upscale Casual. It's a beautiful, beautiful looking restaurant, but it is something that is still comfortable for the Cedar Rapids community. We try to do some food that isn't going to confuse people too much, and give them some things that some other people do, but we just try to do it the best that we can. We do try to push the envelope a little bit and you pull off new flavors and new ideas. And there's usually always a very good response to it, which is fantastic that, nowadays there's so many foodies out there that they just continue to appreciate more and more as chefs kind of grow.
Well, and okay, you said you've been labeled many different things. Do you have a label that you like?
I don't necessarily have a label that I like because nobody really wants to be labeled. We consider ourselves upscale casual out of not trying to make people feel as if we're high end or if we're just a bar and grill. We're listed as a bar and grill, but if you come in the doors and you sit down and eat, it definitely does not just feel like a bar and grill.
Now, you have a really large operation. I mean, you see 300 people. That must be an incredible challenge.
It is. It can be a bit challenging from time to time, yes, which everybody... all chefs kind of set their menus and set their kitchens to be able to operate within their parameters and be able to execute properly. With having so many seats, it is a big challenge. We work our kitchen a little bit more as a manufacturing unit. We run a what we call just-in-time theory, where we're getting food in every single day of the week, and just try to keep the flow going and keep the positivity going and still be able to maintain a little sanity while getting the food out.
And with that much volume, is it hard to keep creatively engaged?
We don't change our menu often. We change it, I think, about once every year, maybe a little bit sooner than that. We do featured items almost every shift that we work. You can come in any lunch and there will be an off-the-menu item, and it might not be available the next day at all because we'll be doing something completely different. Or you can come in for dinner, and there will be an off-the-menu item, which is fun for our customers. We have customers that come in sometimes 5-6 times a week. We have customers that come in for lunch, come in for dinner, come in for lunch the next day.
Wow.
And we've been very, very blessed with such good customers that really, really kind of help us out here. And so doing the featured items, things like that, they appreciate it because it gives them a chance to get away from the beaten menu that they've, seen for so long.
Now, in talking with chefs over the years, I've learned that in a lot of places there will be one item on the menu that most of the staff eats. Do you have an item like that? Is there a staff favorite?
Oh, staff favorite? That is... wow, that is a really, really tough one. I think our turkey burger has been one that's really held pretty true with people for so long. As far as the staff goes, it's one that we put on in the beginning and haven't changed through all of our menu changes, which is it's a grilled turkey burger with raspberry barbecue sauce, Granny Smith apples. There's some smoked Gouda cheese, little applewood smoked bacon, and we do it on our pretzel bread.
Ooh, that does sound good. All right, well, Tim, I want you to stay with us. I'm talking with Tim Othout. He's general manager and partner and head chef at Zeppelin's Bar and Grill in Cedar Rapids. He'll be part of Battle of the Chefs coming up next Wednesday. And I want to bring Daniel Dennis into the conversation from the Class Act in Cedar Rapids. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today. And give me a little bit of an idea of your background. How did you get into food?
I kind of fell into it, truth be told. It was always, like we heard earlier, kind of a part-time job, but it wasn't really a career option in high school anyway. So I knew for sure I wanted to make something. I knew for sure I didn't want to work in an office. So I went to be an English major at Iowa for a little while, but I figured with an English major, I'd just end up cooking anyway. So kind of messed around, went to Kirkwood, was taking this random, you know, Eastern religions, philosophy, art appreciation class, but I was getting married, and the priest asked what I was in school for, and I saw the guys walking around in jackets, and I figured, you know, I'd just say that because I didn't want to say Eastern religions. And then he got up in front of the entire congregation, both of our extended families, and announced that I was already enrolled
in culinary school.
Right, so we did our honeymoon real quick. I enrolled in the culinary program at Kirkwood. Finished the last semester before they built the new hotel, and they hired me on for lead cook, and then lead cook bakery, and then a little over a year ago, chef de cuisine.
So nice. It worked out pretty nice. Well. So really the priest pushed you
right,
into
exactly.
That's a great origin story. For people who don't know, I mean, the Class Act it's affiliated with Kirkwood's culinary school. So can you explain how that works for us?
Right. So we are a fully functioning hotel, like a four diamond hotel, right? And we're open 7 days a week. And we also have a kitchen in that hotel that serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So we have the professional staff that maintains it all, but we also have the culinary program attached with Kirkwood. So in the last few semesters of their schooling, they come and they work with us in the kitchen for 8 weeks, kind of to give them real world experience, and they spend 8 weeks working in the banquet side as well, so they can kind of see both sides of the world before they go out into the workforce.
And so do you get almost an entirely new staff every 8 weeks? Is that?
Well, I mean, we have our core staff, right? Okay. Like there's me and my lead cooks and like all of us who are really kind of passionate about what we do. But then each 8 weeks we get, you know, 12 new students, which is fun.
Yeah. Most of the time. It must be fun,
right,
and challenging,
right,
as well. With the food that you serve, how much creative control do you have over what you do?
They give me a huge amount of control, which is kind of the nice thing about working at Kirkwood, because one of the problems with working with hotels sometimes is a very corporate menu. But because we are a school, they pretty much let me play around as much within reason. And we have to serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? We have to have a big steak and a burger on there because for the hotel people. But then we also try to attract local people as much as possible, and we do that by featuring a lot of the vendors down at Nubo. We get our meat from Big Boys. We get our bread from the bakery down there. We like to feature the Lion Bridge beers quite a bit, Ecolective, all these other, anything but green. And it's kind of, we're a community college, right? I'm from here. We like to support the community as much as possible.
So if I were to go to the Class Act for dinner, mm-hmm, what kinds of things would I find? Give me, besides the steak and the burger.
We also have a mezze menu right now. So we have stuff that's just like poached asparagus with poached eggs. We use a lot of liquorice. So there's a lot of prosciutto. I'm in love with pork. So we have a pork belly bison bolognese, which is doing real well, with smoked tomatoes. And we make our own ricotta to go on top of it. But then we also have, you know, the big Iowa cut two-bone pork chop on top of an apple celery root salad that we use Lion Bridge Ale for the dressing, right? So it's good Iowa food with all the travelers coming in. We just figured we should show off the food we got here.
And right? do you change a lot seasonally?
We change every season, and then we run specials as much as possible. So we just kind of order whatever's being harvested and get a big pile of stuff and just kind of see where it goes.
Well, and I have Daniel Dennis from the Class Act in Cedar Rapids, affiliated with Kirkwood's Culinary School. Also, Tim Othout, general manager and partner at Zeppelin's Bar and Grill. And Pete Hartley of Greyhound Deli at Nubo City Market and Cedar Rapids Public Library. And so with the three of you here, you've all said a few things about the Cedar Rapids restaurant scene a little bit. And Daniel, I'll start with you. With seeing so many students come and go at Kirkwood, do you see the culinary arts is kind of a growing field in Cedar Rapids?
Yeah, I really think I do. I mean, you could almost measure it like before flood and after flood. Like before the flood, there was not a whole lot going on. There's a little bit downtown, but since then, they kind of rebuilt. Nubo popped up, and then all these other kind of locally owned restaurants are popping up. And then as Kirkwood puts out, you know, trained people to staff a lot of these places, I think we can just kind of keep going. And then those students work with some of these really good chefs that are now at Cedar Rapids, and they stick around and open up their own places, right, is kind of the goal.
Yeah. Do you find that you're attracting students from a little further afield as well?
Yeah. I mean, we're mostly Iowa, but there are some that come in from some of the surrounding states.
And you were earlier, Pete, you were talking about how long it took you to sell a salad. So as you've been at Nubo for the last 3 years, are you seeing the culinary scene change as well?
Oh, drastically. People are really responding to the local movement, and people really care about where their food is coming from, even down to the greens that are going into their salad. So working with local farmers is kind of paramount if you want to make it these days. Cedar Rapids, in the last 3 years, I've seen they really care about their food, and they want it to be good. They want it to be fairly priced, and they want it to be as local as you can get. And the more knowledge you have about where it came from and why you work with the people you work with, the better off you're going to be.
Well, and Tim, you said you want to keep the menu comfortable for Cedar Rapids. What do you mean by that?
People often don't want to feel intimidated. And so they come in, you know, like Pete's doing salads. And, you know, people go in and they feel comfortable with that. And it makes them feel good when they're able to eat that type of food. And so it's always a balancing act of being able to fill your restaurant with the menu. And 7 days a week, you know, 14 shifts a week, it's important to be able to make sure that there's always going to be something on the menu that somebody's going to like.
And have you noticed a change in your clientele and people being a little more adventurous?
Yes, I definitely believe that there's, people are getting more adventurous. There's like I said, I think people are self-educating themselves more and more about food all of the time, and which is great for everyone. And they're wanting to try new things. They're willing to try new flavors, and that's a great thing. It's a great thing for chefs, definitely. I think it's a great thing for the general public overall, because the more that we can diversify ourselves and bring in new flavors and things like that, it's just going to help everybody be able to keep growing.
Do you find that when people come in from out of town, you know, there are stereotypes about different towns in Iowa, and Cedar Rapids has not been known as a culinary center. Do you find that people come in from out of town, Tim, and they're surprised? They say, what, in Cedar Rapids? This is great.
Yeah, they do seem to be a little surprised. We have a good relationship with some of the hotels that are nearby, and we often have people sent in here, and they usually always comment about what a great experience they had. Of course, they often try big meats because that's what they're associating with Cedar Rapids or with Iowa itself. But I think if you just, you know, you do well with that, then, you know, you're able to kind of cater to them also when they're having a new experience in a different state.
And, well, Daniel, when people are surprised by what they can get in Cedar Rapids, does it get a little irritating sometimes?
No, it's just good to know that we can do more than meat and potatoes, right? Like, the steak and potatoes will always be the best seller, but we switch it up now. So it's still a piece of steak and it's still a potato, but it's potato pave and we use truffle caviar. And it's a filet, so they like that, and then the rest just kind of comes along with it. So.
Well, I already put Pete on the spot a few minutes ago asking him if he'd decided what he's making for Battle of the Chefs. So Tim, how about you? Are you ready?
No, not at all. I've decided on what I was going to use as a main protein, but I think I've broken it down about 3 to 4, 7 different times of what I think I might do, and no. Hopefully, I heard Pete say that by tomorrow he's supposed to tell them, which means I'm probably supposed to tell them also.
You should probably check your email.
Yeah. So I'll probably have a busy day on my hands.
Right. So is that a little bit intimidating when somebody gives you sort of carte blanche and said, you know, yes, you can do anything you want as long as you can make this many of them and they're this size?
Yes, it is. It's really tough because you, as a chef, you kind of have a little bit of ADD and you just continue to throw out all these ideas, spitballing them on a piece of paper, and you just keep throwing them out, and it's very tough to settle on anything.
Well, Tim, I can't wait to see what you do settle on. But thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Charity.
Tim Othout, General Manager, Partner, and Head Chef at Zeppelin's Bar and Grill. And so let me put you on the spot, Daniel. Are you ready?
Not incredibly ready. I know I have some pork jowls curing. I have some various things pickling. That's about all I know.
Right. Well, I sense that this is a part of chef culture.
Right. Yes. Till the last minute.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. With me, Daniel Dennis of the Class Act, which is affiliated with Kirkwood's Culinary School in Cedar Rapids. Also with me, Pete Hartley of Greyhound Deli at Nubo City Market. I was talking with Tim Othout of Zeppelin's Bar and Grill. Coming up in a couple of minutes, I'll talk with Andy Schumacher of Cobble Hill, Tony Beta from Beta's Restaurant, and of course, Iowa Public Radio's third Battle of the Chefs is coming up next Wednesday at Nubo City Market in Cedar Rapids. The event begins at 5:30, and there are going to be a lot of surprises on the menu, clearly. You can find out more about buying tickets on our website, iowapublicradio.org, and on our Facebook page as well. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Iowa Public Radio's third Battle of the Chefs is coming up next Wednesday at Nubo City Market in Cedar Rapids. You can find out more information about the event on our website, iowapublicradio.org, and also on our Facebook page. And tickets are still available to the event. We are this hour talking with the different chefs who will be battling at our Battle of the Chefs. And what happens is they all make a little something, and then guests get to go around and taste everything and vote for their favorite. With me this hour, Pete Hartley of Greyhound Deli at Nubo City Market and the Cedar Rapids Public Library. Also with me in the studio, Daniel Dennis of the Class Act in Cedar Rapids. And I want to bring into the conversation now Andy Schumacher, who's owner and chef at Cobble Hill in Cedar Rapids. Hello, Andy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I know you were planning on becoming a doctor. How did chef come into play for you?
Yeah, that's kind of a little bit of a flip-flop situation. I went to the University of Iowa, and I got a degree in biology, and was planning to go to med school, took the MCATs and all that jazz, and was getting ready for it, and had finally a year off of school since kindergarten, so I had a little bit of free time, and I started working, I was working at some restaurants and just kind of doing some hobby stuff at home while I was getting ready for all that, and started getting into cooking via baking. I think I bought a cheesy baking book from Barnes & Noble that I started pouring through and just kind of evolved from there and kept going and going. And my wife at the time, we were dating, and she's like, you should go to culinary school, and got this brochure for one in New York, and kind of just on a whim sent it in, and then just kind of decided, hey, let's do it. And we moved out there together and did the whole thing out there. So
wow. So what was it about cooking that really took your life in a completely different direction? What is it about cooking that is so important to you?
I think initially, I'm a very inquisitive person, and so it was very interesting to me, this craft of taking raw materials and doing things to them and transforming them and feeding people. And kind of one thing I really like about it is it's such a fleeting thing where it's, we talked about this in the restaurant the other day with one of the servers. I was putting the plate in the window, and I said, that plate is dying every second before it goes to the table starting now, and will continue to die till it's worthless. But right now it needs to be taken and eaten and enjoyed, and after that it's gone. So I kind of like this idea where we're kind of juggling all these things, and we're doing what we can to preserve these things that the Earth's giving us, and but that's kind of a pretty cool aspect of it. And I think it kind of overlaid a little bit with with my biology studies. I have an intimate knowledge of, you know, chemistry and biology and molecular biology and all that stuff, and realizing there's so much. I mean, that's all we're doing all day, basically, is doing things on that level, and kind of integrating those two helped a lot too with what I was doing. So.
Well, and you seem to really enjoy that kind of food chemistry. I mean, you make everything at the restaurant from scratch, right?
Yeah, we do. You know, it's just kind of how I wanted to go about it, how I learned. So if we want to put on, you know, something with, if we want to make a tortilla, we're going to make our own masa from, mix some malt corn, and we're going to grind it. And, you know, if we're going to make sourdough bread, we're going to make a starter. We're going to cure our own meats, make our own sausages, make our own pasta, you know, age meats in the walk-in, everything, you know. And that just kind of goes hand-in-hand with this process of we're trying to further our knowledge of what we're doing and the craft of what we're doing at all times.
Now, you were at the Lincoln Cafe in Mount Vernon, right?
Yeah, I was. So I moved back. I spent 4 years out east living in Brooklyn, New York, and working in that area. And then in 2008, I moved back, and I worked there for 5 years up until we opened Cobble Hill. So, yeah, I spent a good amount of time there.
Now, opening Cobble Hill in Cedar Rapids, I think, was a really ambitious decision. Why did you decide on Cedar Rapids?
That's a good question. I sometimes ask myself that. you know, I grew up in Cedar Rapids. I love Cedar Rapids. I love Iowa. And I think that the people of Cedar Rapids are viewed as, oh, you know, they don't want this, or it's not a food culture. And going into this project, I had some of the same feelings, and I kind of had the right to feel that way because I lived here. But on the other side of that coin, I also know that if you give someone something that is special and from your heart, from your soul, and unique, that hopefully will be embraced and seen as that. So, you know, we totally took a risk, because what we do at Cobble Hill is definitely, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't do that people would love us to do. We don't have TVs in the place. We don't have any ubiquitous alcohols. We don't serve a salad. We kind of have a salad on the menu, but not really. And we don't have bread service and all the kind of things that you're used to with kind of a nice restaurant. Not all the things, but some of the things you're used to at a nice restaurant that are kind of expected. We just kind of don't do. And, you know, there was a challenge in that. And there was a period when we first opened of worry if that was going to fly or not. But it has, so it's been great.
For people who haven't been to Cobble Hill, describe the menu for me. I mean, we know there's no bread service, but tell me about it.
Yeah, it's a tight, concise menu. We have 6 appetizers, 6 entrees, 4 desserts. You know, and in terms of what's on there, it really kind of just depends on what we feel like cooking. I mean, there's me in the kitchen. I have 2 other guys that have been with me since we opened that are great cooks. And, you know, we kind of do things that we think are going to be cool. Like, I just hired a young cook who was working in New York. He's originally from around here, too, and came back. And, you know, he did this a dish called a porchetta di testa, which is basically the head and meat from a pig head rolled up and cured and cooked and sliced in like a deli meat. And so it's the skin and the ear and the tongue and everything wrapped up into like this roll and cut. And we serve it with, you know, local arugula right now and some radishes and some ramps and all these kind of spring nice things. And, you know, and it's a little bit of a tough sell. You know, we kind of have to decide how we're going to spin it to, not spin it, but describe it. Or, you know, we definitely don't go up to the table and say, hey, this is a cooked pig face. Because we would probably sell very many of them, but you know, I think we have the confidence of, hey, we know what we're doing in terms of technique, so we can make things that people might not think are going to be good. You know, one of my favorite compliments as a chef is when someone comes up to me and says, I hate it. You know, I've never would eat X, or I would never eat Y. I hated it, and I had it here, and it really, like, was a light bulb situation for me. So
nice.
That's a really cool compliment. So.
Well, and Cedar Rapids has embraced you. I mean, it's been 2 years, but your gamble has certainly paid off, right?
Yeah, I think it has. I mean, you know, I think there was a time there at the end of our first year where we were kind of, you know, grinding our teeth a little bit. But, you know, I think that we've kind of come into our own a little bit, and we're kind of getting into a groove. You know, we're a little different. You know, my wife and I run it together, and we put a lot of time into the restaurant. We have two children, and so we kind of value having family time. So, you know, we're only open 5 nights a week. We used to do lunch. We don't do lunch anymore because it wasn't worth it and it wasn't really panning out the way we thought it was. So we stopped doing lunch, and we're open Tuesday through Saturdays. We open at 5 to serve dinner till 9 or 9:30. And, you know, that's been working out great for us. And it gives us time to have some balance in our lives and to kind of do what we want to do. And we get a lot of people that come in, you know, from out of town and people who, when, you know, their relatives have moved out east or out west, and they come back and say, hey, we want to take them here because we think this place is great. And people come in and say, this reminds me of a restaurant out east or New York or whatever that we went to. And that's a cool compliment for us, too, because, you know, that's what we're trying to kind of bring, something that's kind of cool and special and different, so that Cedar Rapids isn't viewed as, you know, that place where you can get mashed potatoes and pork chops.
Right. Right. Well, Andy Schumacher, stay with us. He's the owner and chef at Cobble Hill. And I want to bring our final guest on today, Tony Beta, the owner of Beta's Restaurant. Hi, Tony.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here today.
You bet. Thank you.
And for people who haven't been to Beta's, give us a little thumbnail sketch.
We've been open about 3 years. We're down in the New Bohemia area of Cedar Rapids. We're in a small brick structure that's been there since 1906 that we rehabbed after the flood. And our food is kind of a wide variety of food. We have maybe a little bit larger menu than Andy does at Cobble Hill, but we've tried to minimize it as well. So we have 5 or 6 appetizers that are a varied sort. And then we do have some flatbreads. We have a large brick oven that we cook our flatbreads in, and we prepare some of our meats in there as well. And we have some signature hamburgers. We have a blueberry hamburger, which is well received, where we have blueberries actually in the meat as well as on the hamburger as well with goat cheese and stuff. But then we have evening specials that are shrimp or yellowfin tuna or aged beef tenderloin in the evening. But we are open for lunch and dinner.
What made you want to go into that neighborhood in Cedar Rapids?
Well, we'd looked actually all over town several times, and we had had a couple places kind of reserved for us. And when the city was talking about the vision down there, what they wanted to do, and with the Cherry Building being right behind our restaurant, the Cherry Building is full of some amazing artists and entrepreneurs behind there. I just felt like it would be a good neighborhood. I didn't know that the market was going in there at the time. They had talked about there was going to be a market in Cedar Rapids and stuff, but there was just a lot of little activity and a lot of art and music going on in that area, and I like all that. So
yeah.
I felt that it would be a good fit for us.
Well, it's we've been talking a little bit about how the culinary culture has been evolving in Cedar Rapids. And, you know, I know that the floods of 2008 were a terrible, terrible blow to the city, but it kind of also feels like it has sparked a real renaissance. Do you feel that way, Tony?
Well, I certainly feel it's sparked a renaissance in the downtown area, all the areas along the river and stuff. But I just think that maybe the city was ready for part of the city was ready for a change in what food they were eating. You know, Cedar Rapids is a tough town to be an independent restaurant in. We've had so many fantastic restaurants that were downtown, and on Mount Brunner Road and stuff that had closed only because, you know, there's so many chains and other places like that that people would rather go to than support a small private restaurant and stuff. But the culture has changed in Cedar Rapids, and we're very thankful for that we have a great base of restaurants now that I think are all doing good work and offering a wide variety of great service, great food. So I think it's coming around to maybe our way, I hope.
Well, and it's interesting to me. I mean, this whole hour, we've been talking to really gifted chefs from Cedar Rapids. And in a way, you know, it seems like the more great restaurants there are in Cedar Rapids, the more competition you have. But I also get the sense from talking with all of you that really this has been kind of a rising tide that has raised all the boats. What do you think about that, Tony?
I definitely agree. And you know, we want all the restaurants. We want to really succeed, the private restaurants to succeed, because that makes us all stronger in our mind, that it is more of an acceptance for the population base in Cedar Rapids and in the area. And actually, we have people now that are coming up from Iowa City. You know, 10 years ago, where would people eat? They'd go to Iowa City or they'd go over to Mount Vernon to the Lincoln Cafe because we had very few places. But now we have people coming up from Iowa City and from different parts of eastern Iowa to eat in Cedar Rapids, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be in Cedar Rapids. Tony, thank you so much for talking with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Tony Beta is the owner of Beta's Restaurant. And Andy, before I say goodbye to you, Andy Schumacher of Cobble Hill, I'll let you weigh in on what we were just talking about. I mean, it does seem like there's a lot more competition in Cedar Rapids, but there seems to be a much, much bigger market for good food as well.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that 100%. And, you know, I think the thing that makes us the happiest is when we see independent people opening up and driving that you know, culture. When people come here and they come downtown, we want them to be like, whoa, there's this place and this place and this place and this place, and drawing people down, and then people on the outside saying like, wow, they got a little scene going there. You know, that's what we're trying. That's what we'd love to have happen. And I think that, you know, I think we can get there because I think there's that hunger is growing. And, you know, I feel like in this process of opening Cobble Hill in Cedar Rapids, being from Cedar Rapids, you know, it's made me much more proud to be an Iowa person from Cedar Rapids and kind of happy that I can shrug off that stigma that people have about Cedar Rapids and be from here and be creating something different. So,
well, Andy, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Andy Schumacher, owner and chef at Cobble Hill in Cedar Rapids. And we're nearly out of time, so I need to say goodbye both to Daniel Dennis of the Class Act in Cedar Rapids and Pete Hartley of Greyhound Deli at Nubo City Market and the Cedar Rapids Public Library. But from both of you, do you see this scene continuing to grow? Do you think there's still room for growth in the Cedar Rapids restaurant market?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a lot of different types of food that haven't been touched by this level of commitment or care yet. And I think that there's plenty of room to see great things happen.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for being here today. And, of course, Iowa Public Radio's third Battle of the Chefs is coming up next Wednesday at Nubo City Market in Cedar Rapids. It's at 5:30 next Wednesday. There are still tickets available. You can check out information on our website, iowapublicradio.org. You can also find a link to that information on our Facebook page as well. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up tomorrow, it's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. We're going to talk about growing sweet potatoes. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.